This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and it is the fifth day of August, 2024. 92 shopping days left between now and Election Day, and with us is Reverend Chris Andrews, one of our faves. We haven't had him in a while, but many remember for 22 years he was large and in charge at one of the biggest churches in our community, the First United Methodist. In the last several years, he's been with Jubilee Pioneers, but he remains extremely active in our community and has worked in North Baton Rouge. That is a part of town, as you know, Chris Andrews, that many people don't want to go to, especially people who are in the majority race. But you went there, and you had a great time, didn't you?
I did, and was fortunate enough to meet some lovely people and expand my world and come to know that, it's a part of town that really has some treasures that ought to be shared in the larger community. I wish more people would go to North Baton Rouge.
And the people who live there, as we know, probably don't have the conditions we have on the other side of town, but they live their lives largely like everybody else.
People want, safe home, decent place to live, streets that their children can play on and that they can walk down without fear of any kind of physical harm. It's what we all want. And to a large degree, a lot of places in North Baton Rouge manifest that.
Well, we're here to talk about what's happening in North Baton Rouge, South Baton Rouge, and the world at large, and particularly in the United States of America. If you'd like to join us, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And this presidential election that's shaping up, in many ways, is a slice of America as we know it now. We've got the rich guy from Gotham City, grew up in New York and lived a life of luxury throughout his years. And we've got a woman who grew up on the West Coast. He went to high school in Canada, who is a first-generation American, who is Asian and of African descent. And she is perhaps a game changer. As we know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, she probably could not have been elected. And now her opponent is trying to make her ethnicity an issue. Chris Andrews, what do you make of what's going on now between the former president and the vice president?
Well, Donald Trump is being Donald Trump, and I think, we've come to expect some of the rhetoric that he's known for. I hope and pray that Kamala Harris will be a person who walks a high road and refuses to get drawn into the swamp of that kind of vitriol and ugly conversation, and shows a character that, manifests what a good leader would be. And, it's time for our country, I think, to really turn a corner, and this is kind of reminiscent of the Kennedy years. I mean, we've got a younger candidate. We've got an opportunity for some new ideas, new energy, and it's exciting to me.
877-217-5757 is your number. Now, Kamala Harris turned 60 in October, and you said younger candidate. She is younger than Trump or Biden, but I remember when Richard Nixon resigned the presidency, I was 16, and I was watching him, and he had been vice president for 8 years. He'd been president for six. He had been a U.S. senator, a congressman. He had served in World War II, and as he left the stage, he was 61 years old.
61, that's right. Look at Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Early 60s.
Well, when he was inaugurated as vice president, as he was there seated behind Kennedy, he looked 80. He was 52.
Right, exactly.
Actually, yeah, he was 52
yeah.
years
yeah.
old. 52.
And, I'm of the vintage where someone who is 59 or 60, that's pretty young.
Well, everything is relative.
It
right?
is. It yeah. is. Where you stand is what you see.
Yeah, I hear 60-year-old people saying, I'd like to live to be 80. Well, when you're 79.
Right. Let's push
I'd like to be 90.
Let's go on to 90. Try 100.
And on and on and on we go. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Robin Dow has the tape that was news, and Donald Trump certainly, as he often does, he galvanizes the news cycle with statements he makes and knew exactly what he was doing. Now, whether it was a prudent thing to do is subject to question, but here's how he sounded at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention last week in Chicago.
I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically
either one.
Black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously...
All right, there's Donald John Trump.
There's Donald John Trump. I wonder if he ever reflects deeply on life and things, or does he just react out of out of his hip pocket and just come up with stuff? I don't know.
I think he just reacts, and it's worked for him in his life. He's 1-1 in presidential elections, and the question is whether he'll be 1-2 or 2-1.
Right. Well, it's exhausting to me that every time the man opens his mouth, he's got something to be angry about, and he's got somebody to point a finger to and criticize. I mean, enough of that. Let's have some positive energy, and let's look at things as we stand together and ways in which we can pull together and move the needle in a positive direction.
Here is Bill O'Reilly. Robin Dow has found this in an interview with Chris Cuomo, who is still on cable, albeit not on CNN. But Bill O'Reilly, who in the past has been an admirer of former President Trump, on the statements made last week in Chicago by Donald Trump.
Just alienated millions of black voters who aren't going to really get what happened there. The broadside against Kamala Harris was that she's a phony, that she used one bit of ethnicity to do this, one bit to do that. But Trump didn't articulate it. But let me send this message to everybody. Any American who injects skin color into any conversation these days in a negative way is a fool.
Bill O'Reilly.
Well, I think he's, I hope he's right. that's a minefield that ought to blow up and take down the person that does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Quinn Hillier, who's a frequent guest on this show, a listener, has reminded me just a few days ago in his column called Kamala Harris a radical extremist.
He did. I saw that. And I was disappointed in Quinn. Quinn is one of the few conservative columnists that I find myself sometimes in agreement with, because I think he's a smart man and I think he offers good logic. But I found that column to be disturbing.
Well, that is the way this race is going to be portrayed, is that she is some other being not consistent with American life or values. In the New York Times and Sunday's pages above the fold, here is the story. She is not one of us. When former President Donald J. Trump challenged Vice President Kamala Harris's racial identity at a public forum on Wednesday and again on social media the next day, that was the message at the core of his remarks. It's a tactic that has been part of the underside of American politics, presenting an opponent as somehow other or not one of us, someone who cannot be trusted or truly known. But while this has been a recurrent theme in American campaigns for at least a century, Mr. Trump has taken it to a new level, historians and analysts say. What has often been a subtext or a whisper campaign driven by surrogates is, in Mr. Trump's hands, a central message of his campaign, projected on screens at a rally, promoted on social media, and reinforced by his running mate. Kamala Harris is other. She is not a true American.
Not a true American. I mean, and he did the same thing with Barack Obama, the BERTHA thing.
Birth certificate,
yeah,
which was
and
bogus.
All that, which was, and just about everything Trump says is bogus if you really back up and look at it and fact check it. I mean, that's just the truth. I'm not trying to, take a political side here, though I think it's pretty obvious where I do line up. Trump is a person who I find it incredibly perplexing that people take seriously, except for the fact that he is, I think, a massive threat to civility and to the welfare of our society. And really, it scares me to think that he might again have the keys to the White House.
Well, right now he is still the favorite, albeit a slight favorite.
Yep.
And 3 weeks ago he was a heavy favorite. In fact, he was rolling to victory.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm glad that we have a new day now and new opportunities.
Well, I've tried to be kind to the man, and I admire his resilience. He is certainly that, if nothing else. He just keeps on coming.
Yeah.
And the way he responded to being shot on that day at that time.
Yeah. Fight. Oh yeah, he's got a backbone, he's got energy, and I just don't agree with the direction he wants.
Well, you once corrected me, and you were probably right when I said he was slothful.
Slothful.
Yeah, you say he's not lazy.
He's not lazy, not at all. No, no, he's passionate about his stuff.
877-217-5757. Back with Chris Andrews after this quick time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Chris Andrews is with us for another segment. Your number is 877-217-5757. The Reverend, who has been in this community for a long time and has an amazing backstory that he has told on this show, and we will have him back again soon if things go according to plan. But he is here assessing the lay of the land 92 days from the election, and in his missive from Jubilee Pioneers, he wrote recently, a guest on a local radio talk show offered a comment about the historic moments we are living in. This is a fascinating time to be alive. Chris continues, the phrasing gave me pause. Fascinating is usually thought of in positive ways. Something that is fascinating commands our attention and draws our energy. Fascinating can spread a smile across a pinched face or put pep and slow steps. In my view, fascinating is good. But the time we're living in is not good, concludes Reverend Andrews. That was Mike Wolfe who said that, by the way. But can we savor the moment and not worry about what might happen one way or the other? Because you're presenting it from one side. There are people who legitimately believe that Kamala Harris is a threat to American democracy. My friend Richard Lipsey the other day told me that.
Really? Well, no, I know that, and I have friends who feel the same way. And Richard's one of my friends. I didn't know that he had made that observation yet. But I understand that. I understand differences of opinion. The thing that seems to me to be the most disturbing and something we need to all work at is, why are our differences so stark and so alienating? It's just, you know, fascinating times. It is a fascinating world. It's a beautiful world. I drove this morning from Point Coupe Parish here to East Baton Rouge, driving through the tunnels of sugarcane, the beautiful green, the blue of the sky, the birds. It's a beautiful world. Why do we have to fight so much of the time and be at each other's throat? It's okay to disagree, fine, but let's not have to make it into, you know, World War III every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are a country that is relatively young, and just over 150 years ago, we survived a civil war.
Yeah.
So we have been through worse and got through it. And there are those who believe we'll get through this. But the world is a much more dangerous place, as we know, with the power of the missiles that are fired. And ultimately, if somebody wants to, and there are about 9 countries who have the opportunity to hurl a nuclear weapon somewhere.
Yeah. We, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, that's for sure. And it's scary stuff. And we do live in a world where, in some sense, we are the global village. We are in a global village. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, what happens in Bangladesh, for example, has implications for what's going to go here, and vice versa. So we need to have a sense of community and camaraderie. For me, out of my perspective as a theologian and a person of faith, I think that we could all take a great step forward positively if we could come to embrace the opening chapters of the Bible, Book of Genesis, where it says that we were created in the image of God. Now, if you take that and just back up and think about it, that means, Jim, when I look at you, I'm seeing not just Jim, I'm seeing an image of God. I'm seeing holy creation. And it's true for every stranger you see on the street. Mm-hmm. It's true for the family that we love and live with. It's true for our colleagues. If we could begin to believe and look at life like that, I think we'd move ourselves forward in beautiful and holy ways.
I'm with you. And as our late great friend Buddy Romer said, I'm a Genesis kind of guy.
Yes. He did say that. I remember that. God loved Buddy, and God rest his soul.
Well, God created a wonder when he created Charles Elson Romer III.
You're the man. Yeah, he was unique and a dear friend to both of us, and a blessing in this world. Yeah.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, a blessing to our show. Good morning, sir. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. So I guess you could say I'm a mixed race, according to the Democrat Party.
Democratic Party, but keep going, please.
Yeah, Democratic Party. Okay, my mother was from Cuba, and my father's, you know, American Irish. He was born here in the United States. And so, you know, race for me has never been an issue or I never even heard the word Latino or Hispanic until the early 90s, and it's always from the Democrats. You never hear it from Republicans. And I'm listening to y'all speak, and it's the Democrat Party that brings up race. It's the black journalist that asked Trump the racist question in the first place, and he simply answered it.
All right. Patrick, neither party has a monopoly on virtue, but I do think that you're off base on that a bit. And I know you, Patrick, and if somebody saw you, they would never know that you're Hispanic. They would you look like you're in the majority race, and nothing wrong with that, and nothing wrong with looking Hispanic. But I do think when people have skin tones that are different than the majority, as the vice president does, they become an object of this kind of nonsense that was hurled at Kamala Harris by the former president. Chris Andrews?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. And, you know, like it or not, race is a reality that we've got to contend with in our society because it has become such a lightning rod in so many different ways. Again, to my earlier point, we're all images of God. And God mm-hmm. made us, the little song we used to sing as children, red and yellow, black and white, we were precious in his sight. Why can't we live that? That's what I wish with all my heart we could.
Yeah, well, 877-217-5757, Robin Dow producing, and it's been a while, but our friend Gustavo in Goodwood is back. Gustavo, you're on the air, sir.
I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who your guest is, but I want to know what is his position on abortion.
All right. Well, we're not talking about that, Gustavo, but why do you believe that is a searing issue in our country? Because I think both sides do. Why do you think it's a big issue, sir?
I just want to know what's his position.
No, I'm asking you a question before we get to Chris. You were kind enough to call, and you made this a part of the conversation. Go ahead, sir.
That's what I don't call you. You know, because you take one side and that's it.
No, I'm asking you, Gustavo. You're a learned man. Why do you think abortion is a big issue, perhaps the biggest issue in the world today?
Are you going to ask this guy what his position on abortion is?
I will, but I would like for you to respond. Will you do
you
that?
You don't think that killing babies, probably 40 million babies have been aborted, you don't think that's a big issue in the world?
Well, if you look at it that way, I would, but I don't look at an early term abortion as killing a baby. But you do, and I respect you, but I disagree with you.
You're not going to ask this guy what's his position.
I will, and I think you gave me the reason why you believe this to be a major issue, and it's sincere. And we kind of got to it in a roundabout way, but Chris Andrews, you've been down this road.
I have. And Gustavo, my position is that I believe it's a matter of a woman's choice in consultation with her doctors, her family, and perhaps her spiritual guides, and that we should not have this wholesale ban on that opportunity and that option for women to take care of what are sometimes very serious health issues, sometimes with life hanging in the balance.
And Donald Trump is trying to have it both ways. He's pro-choice, in states that are pro-choice, and he's pro-life in states that are pro-life. And we had a leader of the anti-abortion movement on last week who said that Trump has let the conservative people like Gustavo down. What do you think?
Well, I think it's Donald Trump. I think he's a chameleon. I think he goes where the wind's blowing, and he says what he thinks the audience that he's in front of wants to hear. And that's what his MO is.
Paul in Denham Springs. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I know that Trump advisor Steve Bannon talked about a tactic called flood the gates, where they put so much misinformation and accusations out there, they confuse people and discourage people from seeking out the truth.
Well, I agree. That's something that does happen. And Lord, we live in times where, you know, we're drinking out of a fire hose in terms of information that comes at us. The challenge is, how do you sort it out? How do you define truth from fiction, and walk a road that's reasonable and rational?
877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and the esteemed political consultant Roy Fletcher is on deck. 92 days away from the finish line of November 5th for the 2024 election, and we're spending a few more moments with Chris Andrews, the noted theologian, scholar, and man about town who has made Baton Rouge his home for many, many years. But like Roy Fletcher, he spent some of his time in his youth and his early adulthood in the hustings of North Louisiana. We live in an interesting state, don't we?
Very interesting. Very diverse. And I think, you know, obviously a beautiful state. I love it. I think it's really pretty.
Now, a listener, Tom on Bluebonnet, alluded to something we talked about a little before the show began, and that's that you led a congregation for many years that probably many of those people voted for Donald Trump. They're good people. They're sincere people, and they don't believe that he is a threat to the world at large or the United States. But how did you balance that act as somebody who is, if you listen to Chris, you know that he's on the other side?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how I did it, Jim, other than to try to treat everybody with respect. And as a pastor, you show up in people's lives in the good times and the hard times, and the thing that you are determined to do is to be there for them. And I think that the people in the congregation knew that about me, and I think they respected it, and therefore they were willing to tolerate some differences and hear an opinion that perhaps did not line up with theirs.
All right. We're going to spend a few more minutes with Chris, and please be brief in your comments. Jarrett in Industrial Plex. Jarrett, you're on with Chris Andrews. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. I had a question for the Reverend. I agree with what he said about all people made in the image of God. And by virtue of that, we all have dignity and worth and value in the eyes of God, and should in the eyes of our fellow man. And I just wonder if he thinks that unborn children are also made in the image of God.
I think unborn children are made in the image of God, yes.
877-217-5757. James in Metairie. James, good morning.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Good morning to your guest. I want to get your guest's opinion on something. The mandated posting of the Ten Commandments in our public schools, including public universities, making them Christian indoctrination centers. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I'm not for the posting of the Ten Commandments in schools. I'm not for that mandate. I think, to be honest and frank, I think that there are people who are representative of the Christian faith in the same way that there are people who are representative of the Muslim faith, and I call them the Christian Taliban. They're fundamentalist. They are radical in their ways of looking at things, and they want everybody to walk lockstep with that. And I don't buy that. Here's an interesting idea. What about the Beatitudes, the words that Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, et cetera, et cetera. How about posting those? That would be a whole different kind of tone and tenor. And I think it takes more courage to live the Beatitudes than it does to say, I'm going to honor the Ten Commandments.
Chris, always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I hope we can do it again before Election Day.
Thanks, Jim. Always good to be with you. Thanks for the good work you do.
And Trevor in Hammond reminds me that today is the birthday of our dear friend Julie Joy Baxter Pear.
Julie's a wonderful person. God bless her.
Yeah, and she and I worked together 30 years ago, so it's been a while, but Julie's much younger than I. And her husband, Rob Pear, who you know well.
I do.
A fine broadcaster. Was inducted in the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame Saturday night. He and his group, The Remnants. So congratulations to Rob and Julie.
Indeed.
Okay. Roy Fletcher is with us, the pride of Shreveport Woodlawn, classmate of Joe Ferguson, one of the great quarterbacks ever produced in the great state of Louisiana. People who were there, as Roy was, remember that in the year of 1968, the two best quarterbacks in the state were Joe Ferguson and Burt Jones, and LSU pursued Ferguson and lost him to Arkansas. And guess what? They got Bertram Hayes Jones, who was even better. But Joe was not, he was not bad, Roy. He was a good one. And you have been associating with famous people, infamous people, people in the news ever since.
I guess. I guess, Jim. Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I loved your comment about.
I want to apologize.
No, that's okay. We got you by phone, and you're coming in loudly and clearly, so that's good. And we do have some transmitter issues for WRKF, and some listeners have noted it. But they are working fervently to address this, and I'm sure things will be back to square one or where they should be very shortly. But Roy, we are 92 days away from an election. You're a Republican political consultant. Let's get the local stuff out of the way first. And Republican.
Wait a minute now, Jim. I'm in the Green Party. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Green, as in.
I was in God We Trust.
Greenbacks. Yeah.
Greenbacks. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're representing one Cleo Fields in his quest to return to Congress.
And I'm shooting spots for him right now.
And it looks like he is, when I say the likely winner, I'll be a prognosticator. I'd say there's a 95% chance that Cleo Fields returns to Congress. So it's a lot easier race than it might have been.
Yes. I think that his reputation and his long career has served him well, and it's always great because he's a personal friend of mine, and it's going to be a district where a Democrat comes from, and I think Cleo Fields is clearly a class of the field.
And he will likely vote. I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I think it's fair to say he'll vote for the Democratic nominee for president, and you'll vote for the Republican nominee for president.
I definitely. I know how I'm vote.
Well,
yes, I'll vote for the Republican.
So that's Donald John Trump, and he has seen his lead sliced away, but he is still. In front, according to most prognostications. There is a convention to go. Harris should get a bit of a bump there. And today she's about to choose her running mate, maybe as early as today. And the odds in Las Vegas, guy who's been on the show, Josh Barton, sent this to me this morning. The odds are Josh Shapiro, 4-7, Tim Walz, 2-1, Mark Kelly, 9-1, Andy Beshear, 14-1, Pete Buttigieg, 35-1. Then it's like Gretchen Whitmer and Hillary Clinton are 150-1. Gavin Newsom and George Clooney are 250-1. And Nick Saban is 500-1. What if she chose Nick Saban as her running mate?
Boy, wouldn't that be something? That would be really, really outstanding. That would really be a cool idea.
That might win her the election.
I love that idea. That could be something that would change the dynamics of the whole election. I mean, Nick Saban is vice president. It'd be something else. He was from West Virginia. He's a Democrat. Joe Manchin, he supported when he ran for re-election for the Senate 6 years ago out there. So it's not unusual when you think about it, but it's a really unusual pick. That would be something else. Well, but my gut is that I would bet money on Tim Wirtz out of Minnesota.
Walt, I think it's Waltz, W-A-L-Z.
Yeah, however you say his name, I can't. I've read a lot. Well, I think that he's more in line with where.
Now, he's the hot candidate at the moment. Is it 2-1? He's now the number two pick. He's moved ahead of Kelly.
Yes.
So there is momentum, and our friend Maggie Conroe last week recommended him, but he is from Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is a state that if a Democrat can't carry Minnesota, he or she's in real troubles. So Shapiro...
It's very, very, very competitive in Minnesota right now. It's 3 to 5 points right now. And it's the sort of the Midwest, and it, you know, Michigan is just so important. Shapiro is for the same reason, because he's out of Pennsylvania. But what's happened is, seems to me that the Democrats sort of got into a eat your own situation with, as they've gone through this, and there's been a lot of stuff leaked about everybody, and it's damaged people. And this guy from Minnesota has not had that hit put on him. And I think that he comes through as sort of this kind of a populist sort of character. And it would be a real good pick for her.
You in the past have praised her. You haven't called her a dangerous extremist like Quinn Hillier has. Why do you think that she is, as Democrats go, a good public servant?
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
She has served in, her history is kind of strange, and she has good things, and then she has very controversial things and very personal things, and I don't quite get her. I don't know that I can articulate a reason for that, but she was a loyal, this I will say this about her. I think she was loyal. After a little brief stint, but she became very loyal to Joe Biden, and she served him in a way that he needed her to serve. I mean, and that's what a vice president is supposed to do for the president. And so I think if I had an argument to make for her, which I won't, but if I had an argument to make for her, it would be that. And I think that Democrats recognize that.
877-217-5757. We've got another segment to go with Roy Fletcher, and we'll take your inquiries as we always do. Again, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Roy Fletcher is in the house and ready to take aim at what will happen in the next 92 days, and today will likely be the day that Kamala Harris chooses her running mate. And remember, all of this has happened in 22 days, and she has gone from 30 points down in the polls to 6 points back. Shapes up as a close race. Trump lost 6 states in 2020 that he won in 2016, and those were Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Now, if Harris keeps everything that Hillary Clinton won and then wins in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, she's the president. She can lose those other states. But Georgia has now, with her on the ballot as the presidential nominee, most likely, has been getting closer. And Donald Trump was in Georgia speaking at the same university, Georgia State, that Kamala Harris did just a few days earlier. And Trump being Trump, he did something probably no political consultant would ever advise him to do. He attacked the Republican governor of the great state of Georgia. Robin, let's go to the tape with Donald Trump on Brian Kemp.
But
your governor, Kemp, and Raffensperger are doing everything possible to make 2024 difficult for Republicans to win. That, what are they doing? I don't know. They got something in mind, you know. They got a little something in mind. Kemp is very bad for the Republican Party. He wouldn't do anything. You know, we have Burt Jones over here. We have Burt Jones. All he wanted in the Senate was to have a special resolution passed, and it was all done. Every senator wanted it. Every Republican wanted it. And we have Senator Beach here someplace, too. Where is Senator Beach? Oh, I can't forget him. We can't forget him. A warrior. A warrior, you know that. And many others in this group. But all they wanted was to have just a special. We want to go over the election. We don't want, we want to look because there's too many things. And the governor wouldn't sign it. And I knew he would because I got him elected.
All right, that was Donald Trump, and he went so far as to say that he thought Brian Kemp wanted him to lose. Now, is that what you want to do in a swing state, Roy Fletcher?
Well, it's quite unusual, to say the least, with Trump being Trump. But, you know, I would argue that it's sort of Earl Long. Earl Long used to go into parishes in Louisiana, and he went and if he thought that, you know, that it would behoove him, he would attack the most powerful person in the parish and make speeches about him and talk about him like, you know, like they're rugs. But the problem here is that Kemp has like a 60% favorable rating in Georgia. And so Trump tearing him up, that's quite unusual. But it's Trump, and that's some ways – people like that. Some people don't. And, you know, you get what you, that's what he is. And so I would know. No, a political consultant would go, oh, my God, please get him. Let me go hide. And that's true. On the other hand, it's worked for him through the years. And it's just who he is. I mean, he's different. And mm-hmm. I think people that are handling him this term are quite good at sort of controlling that feeling, but he's got something in his crawl about Brian Kemp, and it's you don't like him. Pretty obvious.
877-217 and 217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org to reach Roy Fletcher in our remaining time with him. And a listener, Holly in the Garden District, does note that Earl Long was. He was institutionalized near the end of his life while he was governor of Louisiana. We've had some interesting times in our state. And Roy was alive then.
And there were people that had to go get him, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And
they put him in Galveston. I believe the hospital down in Galveston. Mm-hmm. And I believe Vic Busey and Jesse Bankston went and got him out, brought him home.
You remember what he said about...
And then he was elected to the United States Congress.
And died.
And he died.
Never
yes.
served, yeah. What he said about Jack Grimion, you remember that?
Yes. As Earl Long would say, if you want to hide the law, put it in a law book, because Jack ain't ever going to find it.
Jack Grimion, for many years, led the Jeffersonians, which was a very conservative group, and I used to cover those meetings, and I remember Jim Brady, when he was chair of the Democratic Party, later to become federal judge, Jim Brady, he needed a police escort to get out of there when he was taking aim at David Duke. They didn't like that a lot.
No. I remember, I actually spoke to that group one time, and it was kind of wild. It was kind of a different crowd.
Yeah. And sometimes, as we know, speakers play to the crowd, and Mike Wolf notes that our dear friend Gus Weil once spoke there, and his address was about hippies being the scourge of the nation. Gus knew where he was, didn't he?
Isn't that something? That's wild.
877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on with Roy.
Bernie. Good morning, Roy. Happy that we're all still here now. I mean, what a ride it's been for our state and for us as well. I mean, this is something that help my family is be able to work on the political spot that we did do together and treat each other with respect and kindness, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Phil and Roy have collaborated, haven't you, through the years? And Phil,
yes.
Phil looks at the world a bit differently than you do.
Yes, he sees it very differently than me. And one day, I said, Phil, look here. I'm going to throw you off the shoot if you ask another question.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love Phil. He's a good man. Phil Beard, good man.
Now, Silas Bogue, one of our favorite listeners, he notes that Gustavo, our friend Gustavo, who said abortion was the biggest issue. Is this Gustavo might be right. What do you think?
In some places, I think it is, and in other places, it's not. But it certainly colors the election, okay? And it, people with different worldviews view that issue differently. There is a middle. The middle is leave it to the states and then fight it out. And it's sort of the position, interestingly enough, that Trump took and was very clear about it in his thing that, you know, the exceptions are where he's at. Mm-hmm. That's quite a big deal in the Republican Party. Trump took a risk there. And that was early on. And when the campaign really got started, it was early. And I thought that was a very, very interesting thing by him because he was very, very clear about what he said with reference to that. And they worked on that very, very much to get that right.
But Trump should own it. He's the reason Roe v. Wade was altered. He's the reason.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the reason that Roe v. Wade was altered. I mean, the court. Yeah, absolutely. He and Mitch McConnell. There's no question about that, and I think that what they did was to find a middle ground that is, well, in a federalist system, is pretty maybe acceptable to people. It allows, but others, it's not. I mean, and I understand that. I get that. I get where they're coming from. With that, you know, they're very adamant about whatever side they're on of that position. But this was a risky thing for a Republican to do, what he did. And he did it, and he was very clear about it, and I gave him kudos on that.
Helen Monroe asks if you're in accord with the recommendations Joe Biden made to revamp the Supreme Court, including 18-year term limits.
You know, Jim, at one time I might have been for that, but I'm really worried about the kind of disturbing the system as it relates to. There's just a lot of stuff about the judicial system that's under attack. And for the time being, I would say let's wait and then let's get through this election and let's get on the other side of this and maybe we can find some kind of place where we can all agree on certain things about the court. I do think the notion that lifetime tenure. I get a little bit, that does bother me a little bit.
Well, we opened the show with Reverend Andrews talking about civility in American politics and what is shaping up as a turbulent election, and I was very pleased that Gustavo called. He's a passionate listener, and he could be doing a lot of things with his time, and he chooses to listen to the show. He sends me a lot of emails, and I like it, and here is how he characterizes Reverend Andrews' response, and about abortion. He says, quoting Genesis in the Bible, hypocrite piece of garbage. You're going to have a great time when you two are burning in hell. That's from Gustavo. So
I'll pass on that.
Well,
that Reverend Andrew is just, he can handle that level. That's far, far above my head. All I do is just ask for forgiveness and keep going.
Well, I remember Reverend Andrews on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. He was on with Sally Campbell, and he told a story about advising a congregant in a difficult situation to have an abortion. And her response, Roy, was "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor." And
that's Sally, dear
that's
Sally.
We love them both. Love you, Roy. Let's talk soon. And whatever you do, vote. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Stay safe and stay tuned.